Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the network. 28 stations around the region, Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, as well as the podcast app, your favorite podcast provider on your phone or computer, tablet, wherever you get podcasts. And of course, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. I'm Brett Amundson. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Hope your holiday season is going well. I saw many, many ice fishing rods being opened up in the past week, and tackle and lures and hunting equipment and clothing and lots of good Christmas presents. My favorite was a hand-carved wooden mallard by my brother's father-in-law. Very cool. So I hope your holidays were a good one. All right, we're going to talk elk being reintroduced into northeastern Minnesota. Very cool stuff. Some interesting information. Just how soon could we see these animals? If it happens, where are we at in the process? Could we hunt them? Find out more with Mike Schreg from the Fond du Lac Band here in just a couple of minutes. Also, fishing reports from Lake of the Woods, Devil's Lake, and more. Plus, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods this winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Also brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Chase perch in a heated snow bear. No matter how much snow or how cold it gets, stay warm and comfortable in a heated snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, haybaleheights.com. Also brought to you by the Sturgeon Spectacular in Fond du Lac. FDL.com/SS, whether or not you're going to take part in the sturgeon spearing season or just go there to enjoy events for the whole family. Find out more at FDL.com/SS for the Sturgeon Spectacular in Fond du Lac on Lake Winnebago. And also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. The new season of Prairie Sportsman starts up January 27th on Pioneer Public Television. Very cool stuff coming up this season on Prairie Sportsman. Find out more at prairiesportsman.org. All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. Well, we've had so much interesting talk the last couple of weeks here on the show. I mean, obviously, we're going to talk walleyes and ice fishing and whitetails and grouse and pheasants and waterfowl and things like that. But we've been able to dig into some of the lesser talked about subjects, or at least the lesser known about subjects, like predators such as mountain lions and wolves, and then elk and moose in Minnesota, just because if there's a season or not on them, or if the population is going up or going down, obviously there's things that people care about in the state. But we always talk about some of the other stuff more. But lately, we've been able to do this. And I want to talk more about elk in Minnesota, because there's some murmuring going on across the interwebs about a potential reintroduction of elk in the Northeast. So I want to get to the bottom of it. Mike Schreg is going to join us here now on the radio show. He's a wildlife biologist for Fond du Lac. And Mike, first of all, thanks for being on the radio show. I appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. I'm glad to be here.
So where did this idea come from? And would this be a tribal proposal, or would this be a partnership with the DNR? Tell us a little bit more about it.
You know, I find myself scratching my head to remember exactly where and when the Fond du Lac Band came up with this proposal. I think it was looking at some of the sturgeon restoration work that's being done on the St. Louis River, and it's like, well, gosh darn it, if fisheries can do it, wildlife ought to be able to go one better. And just looking at what are the native species to eastern Minnesota that aren't here anymore, and elk is probably one of the big ones. Literally and figuratively. They used to range across three quarters of the state of Minnesota, but by the late 1800s, they were shot out of almost all of the state, and had the original elk in the state, the last original elk, disappeared in the 1930s up by Lake of the Woods. Looking around, other states and Ontario have been successful at restoring elk herds, and The folks here at our resource management division talked to the tribal council, and they thought it was an idea worth exploring. So we were off and running. This has been, I guess it initiated with the Fond du Lac band, this idea, but we rapidly joined forces with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the University of Minnesota. We applied for some funding from the state of Minnesota, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and they funded us to do a feasibility study to see if there's enough public support for putting elk on the ground and if we have enough suitable habitat for them.
That's very interesting. Mike Schrag talking to us right now about this elk, possible elk reintroduction in northeastern Minnesota. So when do we get the results, or when does this feasibility study take place then?
Well, we've been working on it for about the last year or so. We sent out mail surveys last winter, got all of the results back by spring. The university has been crunching the numbers over the summer, and we've gotten some preliminary results, just looking at the big picture, which shows all three of the areas we were considering in Northern Pine County, in Carlton County, and in Southern St. Louis County, that there's quite a lot of support, both from the general public and the landowners, for putting elk on the ground.
So many questions come up about this, and I'm sure you've been peppered by all of them. So I'm going to hit you with a few of them. And right there speaks volumes, I think, about what could be done and how this possible reintroduction could be successful, at least from a public perception standpoint, because when you think about the elk herds, the small herds that we have in northwestern Minnesota, I know that's out of your region over there, but they're doing well over there. There's been some giant animals, but they don't have a harmonious relationship with the landowners necessarily over there because of crop degradation and just equipment, fence lines, things like that. They're hard on the landscape, and that's a different type of landscape over there. So you don't have quite the farming and the ranching and the agricultural landscapes in the eastern side of the state. So could you foresee this being maybe a larger or a more well-received herd of elk in Minnesota versus the Northwest?
And I think that's exactly why we're looking at this part of the state. Is it's, agriculture is present, but it's not a dominant land use the way it is in northwest Minnesota. I mean, forestry and timber harvest is probably much more important at this end of the state. And, if you look at, my gosh, like a third of northern Minnesota is forested, and elk do well in the forest, particularly where there's a fair amount of timber harvest and a fair amount of young aspen. And so I think there's potential for a lot of areas in northern Minnesota someday to be elk habitat.
So if we reintroduce these elk, would this be for just the tribe, or would this be something for the entire state of Minnesota? If we get to a point where we can open up a hunting season, would this be available to non-tribal members, Minnesota residents? What are your thoughts on it right now?
Best chance for this idea to be successful is a joint tribal state partnership putting elk on the ground. Even if we were to put elk on the Fond du Lac reservation, there's a fair amount of state, county, and private land on the reservation that is owned by non-tribal members and open to non-tribal hunters. Tribal land on the Fond du Lac reservation is also open to non-tribal hunters. And the reservation is not fenced. Even if we put them on the reservation, eventually elk are going to leave and move off. The Fond du Lac band has treaty hunting rights. They would be entitled to a share of any harvestable surplus. But absolutely, I think we're doing this with the expectation that someday, everybody, tribal members, non-tribal members, would have the opportunity to see elk and hear elk bugling and someday hunt elk.
Mike Schrag is our guest. He's a wildlife biologist for the Fond du Lac Band here on Sporting Journal Radio. We're talking about there's a feasibility study that is in progress right now to determine whether or not elk could be reintroduced into the northeastern part of Minnesota. And if numbers are a little fuzzy for me and numbers don't always get along, but I think the elk population in the Northwest is what, not even 200 animals, something like that, I think, between the three herds.
I think on a typical day, there's about 100 elk in Northwest Minnesota. A lot depends on how many of the Caribou Vita herd are on the U.S. side of the border
sure.
on any given day.
Yeah, because they go back and forth.
They move back and forth into Manitoba quite a bit.
So how big could you foresee an elk herd in the Northeast growing to?
You know, I think that's going to depend on habitat and public support. And, you know, I think the potential is there someday in the future to have thousands of elk on the landscape. I mean, there's enough forest land up there for elk if people are willing to have them around. I think we need to start with 200 or 300 because we have healthy predator populations in the Northeast, and we're going to need to put enough animals on the ground to get a herd jump started and get past the predation. But I think the potential is there. The room is there if it's what people want to have thousands of elk someday.
Well, I guarantee you that all the hunters listening to the radio show now, their ears just perked up and got really excited because for the potential to hunt a sizable population of elk in Minnesota and not just, you know, a once in a lifetime tag at a small herd, I think is exciting for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, and something I caution people interested in hunting is you and I should not, if this goes forward and works out, it'll be a while. You and I should not expect to ever draw an elk tag in eastern Minnesota. This is something we do for our kids and our grandkids.
Sure, which is something we try to do in the outdoor world all the time. Anyway, we talk about conservation and preservation and giving opportunities for future generations, of course. Mike Schreg, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. And you brought up one other thing there that I want to hit on. I got to take a quick break, but you brought up the predator population up there and what dynamic elk and wolves might have. And then I want to, you know, because we look at moose and we look at the deer in the Northeast and how they all work together. And I want to kind of dig into that a little bit if we can when we come back. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. More with Mike Schreg coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. We'll also talk fishing, too. We'll talk walleyes on Lake of the Woods and ice conditions and all that good stuff with Joe Henry. We'll check in with Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake and find out how things are going up there as well, too. Hope your holiday week is going well. Thank you for tuning into Sporting Journal Radio. More elk talk when we come back.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. Happy holidays from all of us here at the radio show, of course. Mike Schreg is our guest right now. He's a wildlife biologist for the Fond du Lac Band, and there's been some talk about a potential reintroduction for elk in northeastern Minnesota, so we're getting to the bottom of that right now. And one issue that has come up when I've been talking to some friends and different people about potentially introducing elk into the northeastern part of the state is what impact are wolves going to have on that reintroduction? Because we know what's going on with deer, and obviously there's a lot of factors going on with deer and even moose and things like that. And you just talk about weather and snow and even black bear and things like that. But obviously the wolves have an impact. So before the break, Mike, you mentioned introducing enough elk to compensate for any loss from predators, because wolves are going to eat some of those animals, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I figure it won't take, you know, wolves very long to figure out that elk are good to eat. But, you know, I can look across at our neighbors in Wisconsin, and both of their elk herds are in wolf range in Wisconsin. And wolves certainly slow down the growth of an elk herd. You can't leave bears out of the equation either. Black bears have figured out how to be very effective predators on elk calves. But, you know, it's taken time, but Wisconsin in their northern herd around Ham Lake, Wisconsin, has or Clam Lake, has managed to grow the herd to the point now where they had a hunting season this past fall and had permits for 10 bull elk.
And how many years has that been going on over there?
It's been about 20 years in Wisconsin. They started with only 25 animals, and it took a while for the herd to grow. I think habitat quality declined over time, and that impacted the herd growth. In recent years, the last couple of years, Wisconsin has been supplementing the Clam Lake herd, the original animals, with some new animals from Kentucky, and that's helped jumpstart the growth of the herd again.
It seems so odd to me to think about Kentucky as a place to get elk, but they've had didn't they reintroduce elk there as well and have been very successful with it, or they've done a good job managing elk there, right?
Yeah, Kentucky is the poster child for Eastern elk success stories. In 1995, starting in 95, they put 1,500 elk on the ground in eastern Kentucky, where they have a lot of reclaimed coal mine land and a lot of forest, and elk have done extremely well. Somewhere between 10 and 11,000 elk is the official estimate, and I've heard rumors that it might be a lot higher than 10 or 11,000.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. In 25, 30 years, whatever it is?
Yeah. Yep. And you know, you have to realize that Kentucky has, you know, basically 9.5 months of no winter. You know, their winter season is very short and very mild compared to our winter season, and Kentucky has no wolves.
No predators, yeah.
Well, no, they have black bear, and that's got to be impacting, you know, some of their elk calves. They don't have wolves, so once those calves get big enough, they're pretty safe from bear predation. But yeah, no wolves and much milder climate than we have. So yeah, their herd can grow a lot faster than a herd here would grow. But, you know, I'm confident, given enough animals, enough time, and good habitat, that elk will put up with some wolf and bear predation in Minnesota, and they'll do just fine. And we're seeing that in Wisconsin.
So where did they get the money, or why did they put 1,500 elk, and where did they get those elk? Whereas Wisconsin did 25 or whatever, and we were thinking, you know, a couple of hundred maybe here. Why not go big and do 1,500? Would that be too much for the area to handle right away?
Yeah, so Kentucky got a lot of their elk from Utah, although I think they went to a number of western states to do it. but most of them came from Utah. Kentucky also did this in the age before chronic wasting disease, when it was a lot easier to move large quantities of elk. You know, the areas we could look at for a potential source herd, there's a lot fewer of them now. You know, we're not going to Jackson Hole or Yellowstone National Park in Wisconsin because of chronic wasting disease. Kentucky, however, is still free of chronic wasting disease. And West Virginia and Wisconsin, which had done the most recent elk movements in the east, have both gotten elk from Kentucky.
So how
West Virginia has also gotten elk from Arizona.
How do you grow to 10,000 some elk like that and not have CWD out there? And does that affect elk like it affects deer?
It does affect elk. Possibly elk are less susceptible to infection than white-tailed deer are, but they certainly do get it. And it is eventually fatal to any elk that contracts the disease.
It's amazing that you can have that many there and not have chronic wasting disease.
You know, I think it's with CWD, it's not a numbers game. It's, you know, where does the disease get transported to? You know, certainly with more animals, it can spread faster, but that's not, you know, the disease is likely being moved around the country either through captive cervid movement or transport of carcasses by hunters. And so far, Kentucky's evidently been spared this. And knock on wood, it continues that way.
All right, we're talking with Mike Schrag from the Fond du Lac Band here about the potential for reintroduction of elk in northeastern Minnesota. When we come back, I want to just find out where we might be at and how soon we might see this thing. Just what's the status of it is. Just one more minute with Mike when we come back. Plus, we'll get some fishing reports with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism, Lake of the Woods MN. Also, we'll find out more from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort and Devil's Lake. We'll check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department as well. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Happy New Year. Hope your holiday season is going well. Find out more at sportingjournalradio.com and find us on Facebook as well.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. A couple of stations, of course. You can listen to us in the Devil's Lake area, and that's where our next guest on the radio show is at, Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, where you guys got some snow this week, and you're actually removing snow right now. Is that right?
Yep. Last week I was in the snow bear, but today I am in the bobcat moving lots and lots of snow. 10 inches we got, and we got some pretty high winds, so it's visibility today is horrible, and lots of drifts to clean up, I guess.
How were conditions before that storm hit?
You know, real nice. There wasn't a lot of snow. We've kind of cooled down. We're really starting to make some ice now. We did some checking yesterday. We got about 16 inches where we were drilling yesterday.
And how's fishing been?
Fishing's been pretty decent. We're after Christmas break here, we got to get out and find some new schools and just kind of get after them here after everybody took a break from Christmas.
Sure. Sure. Well, and I know this time of year, a lot of guys take time off for the holidays and probably take some time off for work to go on trips like that up to Devil's Lake to see you guys up there. And that's got to be kind of tough. Some of these people probably travel from a long ways. Did you have people traveling there during that big snowstorm?
Yeah. So everybody got in early yesterday. Everybody took off just a little bit earlier to beat the storm. And it started snowing about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and it snowed all through the night. It's snowing as I speak. And, you know, the nice thing about the way we fish out of the snow bear is we were able to get our guys out fishing this morning. You know, they traveled 14 hours, the one group did, and I think the other group was 13 hours. So,
wow.
I mean, it's nice, you know, that they're not sitting in the cabins and watching TV. They're actually out doing some fishing. And that's the advantage of the snow bear.
Oh, yeah. And that's great. I mean, we always tell people, you know, like when we would guide waterfowl or we'd go on fishing trips in the summer, we'd always plan for weather days. So we always tell people, plan for weather days. You know, we may have bad weather, maybe raining, storming, whatever. Maybe it's too windy to get out on the lake. But that'd be nice to know that I'm going to take a trip to Hay Bale Heights and, you know, pretty much no matter what the weather is like, we're going to be able to get out there and fish, Lucas.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there are certain circumstances where we might not go out if it was minus 50 or, you know, it was really, really dangerous. But we got GPS units in those snow bears. So they're all out on the lake right now. And, you know, visibility, we could see about a mile right now. But I don't think there's probably a lot of other people on the lake today just because of the weather factor.
Mm, sure. And, of course, we're recording this on Thursday, and it's been an interesting weather system so far. I know where I'm currently on the road myself. Normally where I'm at in western Minnesota, I know they got a lot of snow. I talked to a friend of mine up in Brainerd. I think they'd gotten about 10 inches or so or something like that, and there was another 11 on the way, or I don't know. They were predicting all kinds of weather. I'm down kind of in the southeastern part of the Twin Cities right now, and we got a little bit of snow Wednesday night, but then it warmed up, so a lot of it's been melting. So it's been kind of an interesting storm, depending on what part of the region you're listening in right now. But Lucas, I remember coming up there a couple years ago, and the weather was really nice until we decided to leave to head up there, and then we had a snowstorm just like this, and it got really cold. In fact, I think it was in the negative 40s or something like that, and we were out there fishing just fine. And that, you mentioned it, that's the nice thing about those snow bears is not only do you stay warm when you're moving around, you drill the holes right inside your transportation, but those things are on tracks, so you don't get stuck in the snow out there.
No, I took some cool video this morning when we were leaving. Some of the drifts that the snow bears were going through were 2 to 3 feet high, and they had no problem doing it. So I'm sure the guys are having a good time out there. Like I said, at least they're not sitting in the cabin.
Yeah.
And, you know, this wind is supposed to last for 2 days. So let's say you come up to Devil's Lake and you're only going to fish for 2 or 3 days and this weather hits. I mean, your trip could be a total bust if you can't get out on the lake.
Traveling for 14 hours, where'd they come from?
One came from around that Rockford, Illinois area, and the other group was in just the middle of Wisconsin somewhere there.
Okay. Wow. Nice. You know, and it gets cold down in Illinois, but what have they said when they got to experience North Dakota weather?
Well, they were all worried last night. Are we even going to be able to get out? And I told them, I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll get out. I got up real early this morning. I had to plow a trail into the resort to get some of the guides here. But then we just got them all in, and they took off, and now I'm I'm moving snow for them.
Well, with New Year's coming up, I mean, that sounds like a great way to spend New Year's, you know, a fishing trip with the guys. Do people do that? Do they come up over holidays like that and do some fishing, maybe do a little celebrating for New Year's Eve?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of groups that'll come up, you know, the day before New Year's, and we'll take them, you know, ever since we've been in business, we've been fishing on New Year's Day. So a lot of groups take their vacation then.
All right. Well, perch, of course, is what people are coming up there for. But obviously the walleyes too and the big pike. Is the walleye bite still going too?
Yeah, the walleye bite is really good this winter. And the perch bite, we are on perch. It's just whether or not sometimes they bite for a half hour, sometimes they bite for 3 hours, sometimes they don't bite at all. But we're definitely on schools of fish right now.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I mean, it's frustrating when you watch that, when your graph lights up like a Christmas tree and they can't bite, but at least you're seeing stuff down there.
That's right. Yeah, we move around enough where we can get on a school, and we just gotta have them cooperate a little bit. And, you know, that's the whole thing, though. You're not going to catch them on the couch. You got to be out there.
Right. So you're running, what, six snow bears? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we have six in the fleet. Yep.
Okay. All right. So people want to come up. There's opportunities to get out there on Devil's Lake with you guys.
Yes. Yep. You can handle big groups or small groups.
All right. And what do you usually run through middle of March?
Yeah, we'll go till ice out. It's typically middle of March to the end of March, depending on the winter.
All right, and how do people reach you if they want to book a trip?
They can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can check out our Facebook page, or they can go to our website, haybaleheights.com.
Haybaleheights.com, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Get up there and get in a snow bear. Lucas Mertens from the Bobcat right now, moving snow around the resort. I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now we're going to stay on that North Dakota side of the Red River and check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department to find out what else is going on outdoors in North Dakota.
Winter ice anglers are reminded to review fishing regulations. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. North Dakota anglers are encouraged to refer to the 2018-2020 North Dakota Fishing Guide or the State Game and Fish Department's website for fishing regulations. Some winter fishing regulations include a maximum of 4 poles is legal for ice fishing. Tip-ups are legal, and each tip-up is considered a single pole. Mechanical devices that set the hook are legal. However, use of any device that automatically retrieves the fish is illegal. There is no restriction on the size of the hole in the ice while fishing. Materials used to mark holes must be in possession of anglers and spears as soon as a hole larger than 10 inches in diameter is made in the ice. It is only legal to release fish back into the water immediately after they are caught. Once a fish is held in a bucket or on a stringer, they can no longer be legally released in any water. It is illegal to catch fish and transport them in water. It is illegal to leave fish, including bait, behind on the ice. All aquatic bait, such as fatted minnows, must be purchased or trapped in North Dakota. Depositing or leaving any litter or other waste material on the ice or shore is illegal. The packaging of fish away from one's permanent residence must be done in such a manner that the number of fish in each package may be easily determined. The daily limit is a limit of fish taken from midnight to midnight. No person may possess more than one day's limit of fish while on the ice or actively engaged in fishing. The possession limit is the maximum number of fish that an angler may have in his or her possession during a fishing trip of more than one day. It is illegal to introduce anything into the water for the purpose of attempting to attract fish that is not attached or applied to a lure. Licensing of fish houses is not required in North Dakota. However, any unoccupied fish house must have displayed on its outside in readily distinguishable characters at least 3 inches high either a registration number issued by the department or the owner's name and address or name and telephone number. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about Devil's Lake and Lake of the Woods and the walleye wars between the two legendary bodies of water. Joe Henry joins us next.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio, on 28 stations around the region. Also online, demand sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast that you can listen to anywhere in the universe that you can get the, Wi-Fi anyway. I'm not sure if they've got fiber optic on the moon yet, but I'm sure it's coming at some point here. Joe Henry is our guest now from Lake of the Woods Tourism to talk about that big lake in northern Minnesota where, Joe, it sounds like ice is shaping up and they're getting trucks out there and people are catching fish.
I got a feeling they're probably listening to you on the space station, wouldn't you think?
Well, obviously. I mean, of course, we're number one for astronauts here at Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, astronauts are real people, and they like outdoors too.
That's right. They like really outdoors, like getting away
out of this world outdoors.
Right. That's right.
No, you know, it's funny. I was listening to an astronaut from the space station being interviewed, and they asked him what part of the Earth does he enjoy seeing most from outer space, and he'd mentioned North America, and he said, you know, I've been to many of the national parks. I just think that we have such a beautiful world that we live in, beautiful country, beautiful continent. He just said it's just so beautiful from outer space, and that's kind of neat. And you know, we talk about outdoors, and you know, we talk about stuff. We talk about Lake of the Woods primarily, and you know, what a natural resource. How lucky are we to have many of the lakes and the hunting opportunities and the hiking opportunities and whatever you enjoy doing outdoors in Minnesota and in the Dakotas, Iowa, Wisconsin. I mean, we live in a beautiful part of the world, don't we, Brett?
Absolutely. And a couple of things, and I don't want to get us too sidetracked here, but have you heard about this American Prairie Reserve at all?
No, I haven't.
I hadn't heard about it either, and I'm starting to hear a little bit of chatter about it a little bit. It's a pretty ambitious plan in Montana. They're talking about taking like 5 million acres and basically securing it and not turning it into a park because they don't want the restrictions that some national parks have, but they basically want to return a bunch of the wildlife that used to be on this landscape back to this landscape, open it up to hunting, essentially turn it into this big conservation preserve type area that's open to hunting. And just for a little context, Yellowstone is 2.1 million acres, and this would be 5 million acres, American Prairie Reserve. So it's a pretty ambitious plan, and it sounds like they've bought up a number of acreage towards the project so far, and they're working on getting funding for some more of it. But and you're right, it goes along with what you're talking about. Some of the opportunities that we have in this country, and as particularly in this region, when it comes to, you know, Joe, we talk about fishing all the time because Lake of the Woods is unbelievable. And when you talk to, I know you've done it and you've lived in other parts of the world, when you talk to people in other areas of the country about the fishing opportunities we have in Minnesota, they can't believe it, Joe.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. I mean, you know, to have over 10,000 lakes and to be able to go, most of them have public accesses, and to have access to these natural resources as just anybody. I mean, we're pretty lucky to be American, just to have access to lakes and the woods and the public opportunities we have with, you know, hunting and things. I mean, you know, you don't have to own land. You don't have to own a lake to enjoy the woods and a lake and the fields, and pretty darn fortunate, I'll tell you.
We have public access to a lot of it, and then we also have that public perception or that public attitude by the majority of the residents here, and even the game managers that want to preserve it for the future and continue that public access. And a lot of us here like to hunt and fish, and a lot of us like to go up to Lake of the Woods, Joe.
You know, I tell you, it's kind of neat. Right now, I mean, the fishing has been really good all year. It truly has been, and it continues to be really good. And so neat to see people going up. I mean, you know, it's funny. I put a Facebook post up recently of somebody. It was a fishing report on Facebook, and somebody was holding a real big eel pellet, and then there was a whole table full of walleyes and saugeries. And you know, somebody made a comment about the killing zone, and I just made a comment back that, well, you know, this was a group of anglers who went out and enjoyed a day in a fish house. They caught walleye, saugers, certainly they caught pout. You know, they caught a variety of species. They probably made great memories. They're well within their limit of fish. You know, we have that slot limit that 19 and a half to 28 inch walleyes get released. That's for sustainability reasons, because those are the fish that lay eggs and reproduce. And, you know, we got a healthy lake, and people can go up there and catch fish and keep fish and have fish fries, and still we have a healthy lake. And, you know, we're so lucky. I mean, Lake of the Woods is a very, very unique place that we can get. First off, it's big water. Secondly, we can get the pressure we do, and people take, you know, hundreds of thousands of walleyes and saugers out of there. And it's still a great fishery. I mean, it's very sustainable, and that's what's going on right now. I mean, people are whacking the walleyes, they're catching a lot of saugers. There's a morning bite going on in that 15 to 20 feet of water. There's a daytime bite going on in that, you know, I would say 22 to 31 feet of water right now. It's just awesome. You know, the many of the resorts that have ice roads now are started to allow half-ton pickups to go out with wheelhouses. So, I mean, it's game on at Lake of the Woods. It's the resorts have the houses out. The sleepers are out. Half-ton pickups. I mean, the lake is buzzing, and people are having a great time.
So you would recommend guys trying to fish a little bit shallower in the morning and then moving a little bit deeper as the sun gets higher. Is there a change in lures when you do things like that, or kind of the same approach?
Well, I think the same approach, you know, and I would say this is that, you know, when you're doing that morning evening bite in the shallows. So if you're going through a resort, there are a few resorts that'll offer you just for a little bit more because they got to use two fish houses. They'll offer you a fish house in the shallows morning, evening, and then they'll slide you out to the deeper stuff during the day to pick at the walleyes and saugers. We know if you are fishing on your own, you know, I have a sleeper fish house, and I used to set my sleeper out in the deep water during the day. Well, then I found myself setting my collapsible up for the morning evening bite when it's really cold and dark, either early in the morning or, you know, at night after the sun goes down. Hmm. Well, you know, I thought, well, why not have my sleeper in shallow?
Yeah.
And do my daytime bite with my collapsible. Yep. It's way easier. And that's what I started doing. And that's kind of one way to do it. And, you know, that morning evening bite, Brett, it's so much fun. It's hit and miss. I mean, you don't always whack them. But boy, I'll tell you, when those schools of walleyes come flying through, it can be pop, 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 pop. I mean, right now it's like getting a nice walleye up, seeing more in your Vexlar or your electronics, getting that, whatever lure you're using, getting it baited, getting that sucker back down that hole as fast as you can, because you know when you get it down there, they're going to eat it. I mean, usually when you have more than one walleye, you know, there's competition and they really go crazy over it. It's a rush, and it's fun, and it's worth doing it. It's really cool. It is hit and miss. And you don't have to look for other people. You don't got to go around any fish houses. These walleyes are sliding in, and they're picking off roaming schools of shiners and other critters that are in the shallows during the lower light periods. And, you know, you just kind of get off on your own, and and set up a net. I said 15 to 18 probably is best. And just, you know what, check it out. See how it works out. It's cool. It's really fun.
Is that your plan for January 3rd then?
Yeah, well, you know, we got, is you know, a lot of the listeners might know, we have that Walleye Wars coming up with Devil's Lake. And, you know, yeah, so all day on Thursday, January 3rd, we're having a fishing contest against Devil's Lake. And they're going to be fishing on Devil's from 9 to 4 on Thursday, January 3rd. We're going to be fishing on Lake of the Woods. And what we're going to do is we're both going to be broadcasting live on Facebook Live. They're going to be every hour on the half hour. Lake of the Woods Tourism is going to be every hour on the hour. And, you know, I think what I'll probably do, we start at 9 in the morning. I think it's probably a little bit late for me to go into a shallow house at that point. So I think what I'll do is probably go out to the normal daytime depth and start whacking away at those fish right away in the morning and hoping to get into one fish house and just sit on some fish and just to be picking away at them all day. That's what you do at Lake of the Woods. Those schools of walleyes and saugers come through, and when they do, you got to make hay. And I think that's what we're going to do. Now, I'll tell you what, Tanner Cherney, tell you what I think he's going to do. He's from Devil's Lake. I got a feeling he's going to be running and gunning. I think he's going to be using a pop-up, and he's going to be moving around quite a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see how we can hold our own if we do the traditional Lake of the Woods bite versus him running and gunning. You know what? We'll see.
And I know they've had a morning and evening bite over on Devil's Lake too, so it'll be interesting, that 9 to 4 time frame. And then how does that work then? Is it all walleyes or is it all species? Or what are the parameters of this contest?
There's going to be a total of 3 points that you can earn. 1 point is for the biggest walleye. The biggest walleye has to take the biggest walleye point. You can't play around with that at all. If you get to biggest walleye, that has to be in that category. And you can only use one fish per category. One big walleye can take numerous categories. So biggest walleye is 1 point. The biggest fish overall, whatever it might be, takes 1 point. And then the total number of fish overall, and that could be any species, gets a third point. So what that means is, you know, those guys can be using perch and white bass and whatever else they catch. We can be using, you know, our saugers and our tulipies and our you know, jumbo perch we catch and whatever else we might catch, you know, eel pouting. But I mean, when there's a blip on that screen, you got to be thinking, I'm going to be fishing that blip. I mean, even if I think it's a tulipy, I might raise up to him and try to get him to eat my minnow head. You know, that's part of the beauty of both fisheries, is that, yep, they're walleye fisheries, all right, but you know what, Devils, you're going to be getting some you got a chance to get some nice perch with it, some other species, you know, some pike and stuff in the shallows. Lake of the Woods, certainly our walleyes are king. And then you got your saugers, and then you got your jumbo perch, and then you got your eel pout, and then you got pike swimming through randomly. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, you catch a crappie in the main basin now. Never know what we're going to catch. What if we'd catch a sturgeon? Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be great.
I bet that would take biggest fish.
It probably would. Probably would. That's Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism, talking about Walleye Wars. They've got the contest with Devil's Lake and Tanner Cherney coming up on Thursday, January 3rd, and we'll have all the details and the recap here on Sporting Journal Radio. And Joan, if people want to plan a winter trip to Lake of the Woods, where can they go to find out more information?
Absolutely. Well, first off, get chimed into our Facebook page, because that's where Walleye Wars is taking place. Just search Lake of the Woods Tourism on Facebook. The other place, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, my thanks to Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, haybaleheights.com, for being a sponsor of the show. Also, Lake of the Woods Tourism, lakeofthewoodsmn.com, to plan your trip to Lake of the Woods for this winter. Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Sturgeon Spectacular, February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac on Lake Winnebago. And of course, Prairie Sportsman, the new season starting January 27 on Pioneer Public. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.